Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on us. Forgive us all our sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Amen. Lord, open our lips, and our mouth shall proclaim your praise. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and raise a loud shout to him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the caverns of the earth, and the heights of the hills are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands have molded the dry land. Come, let us bow down and bend the knee and kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Oh, that today you would hearken to his voice. The psalm appointed for today is Psalm 1. It can be found on page 585 in the Book of Common Prayer. Happy are they who have not walked in the counsel of the wicked, nor lingered in the way of sinners, nor sat in the seats of the scornful. Their delight is in the law of the Lord, and they meditate on his law day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, bearing fruit in due season, with leaves that do not wither. Everything they do shall prosper. It is not so with the wicked, for they are like chaff which the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked shall not stand upright when judgment comes, nor the sinner in the counsel of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked is doomed. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Leviticus, chapter 19. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to all the congregation of the people of Israel, and say to them, 'You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. You shall not render an unjust judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great. With justice you shall judge your neighbor. You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people, and you shall not profit by the blood of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You shall not hate in your heart any one of your kin. You shall reprove your neighbor, or you will incur guilt yourself. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against any of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please join me in reading Canticle 16, found on page 3 of your bulletin and page 92 in your Book of Common Prayer. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He has come to his people and set them free. He has raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of his servant David. Through his holy prophets, he promised of old that he would save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us. He promised to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. This was the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies. Free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight all the days of our life. You, my child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us, to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
This is a reading from Matthew, the 22nd chapter, beginning in the 34th verse. When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Now, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them this question: "What do you think of the Messiah? Whose son is he?" They said to him, "The son of David." He said to them, "How is it then that David, by the Spirit, calls him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet'? If David thus calls him Lord, how can he be his son?" No one was able to give him an answer, nor from that day did anyone dare to ask him any more questions. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, a story is told of a small-town businessman in the late 1800s who made a trip to the big city. And there, for the first time in his life, he saw an ice machine. This was a new invention. He'd never seen it before, and he just loved it because it meant that he could have ice all summer long. So he went back to his hometown, a small town, and he told his friends at the Baptist church about this invention. But to his surprise, instead of bringing joy, this news of this new ice machine sparked a huge debate. And within a month, the church had split into two factions: the pro-ice Baptists and the no-ice Baptists. The theological issue was whether the ice machine would be a violation of the natural order established by God. Because if God had wanted us to have ice in the summertime, God would have created it. The man wondered, could you be a faithful Christian and have ice in the summer? I know it's kind of a silly story, and yet even today, we find ourselves continuing to ask what it means to be a faithful Christian. And we've been asking this question ever since the church began. In the early church, believers argued about who could be a follower of Christ. Then we argued about the truth of the incarnation and the resurrection and the nature of salvation. We've argued and divided over the nature of the Trinity, as if anyone can really get a handle on that. And we continued our debates through the Reformation, Martin Luther, and even the creation of the Anglican Church. And look what else we've hashed out within this century: women's ordination, 79 prayer book, same-sex marriage. And I'm sure there's more to come as we continue to ask ourselves what it means to follow Jesus in our own context, what it means to be a faithful Christian in this day and age. Now, all this history could lead us to believe that being a Christian is really complicated and somewhat ambiguous. And yet, being a Christian is not really that complicated at all. Colorful? Yes. Complicated? No. We know this by Jesus' response in our gospel today when he is asked for the greatest commandment. He says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself." It's that simple. And this means, of course, that we are to love God and everything that God loves, even ourselves and our neighbors, even if we don't like their politics or their religion or their child-rearing practices or the color they decided to paint their house. It's a lot clearer than getting a grip on the Trinity or fighting over whether or not it's okay to make ice in the summer. Love God. Love your neighbor. That's it. But we have to ask, how do we do that? How do we love the way Jesus wants us to love? What does it mean to love God and our neighbor? Well, I heard a lecture, this was a while ago, in which the speaker pondered what it means to love. And he suggested that today the world has overused this word so much that the word love has kind of lost its power, its oomph. The way we use the word these days, it's become weak, like a greeting card slogan. It no longer inspires us to respond in the same way or to do much of anything sometimes. So with this in mind, you could think that to love God and love your neighbor means simply to go to church and to be nice. And the problem with this watered-down version of love is that it encourages us to believe that this is all that God requires, going to church and being civil, when really, the truth is, God is asking us for so much more. God is asking us to love in ways that require a lot more than being nice. So let's talk about it for a minute. We can love someone romantically. We can love our children. We can love our friends. We can be nice to those we like and tolerate and be civil to those we don't. And when we hear God tell us to love our neighbor, perhaps we can embellish this a little, loving through service, loving through mission, doing something, fixing things. And yes, this is all love. But if God wants us to love differently, in an entirely different way, maybe God is asking this. What if God wants us to love by preventing broken hearts? It's an entirely different way to think about loving. It's not just being nice. It's preventing broken hearts. What if our mission and vision start there? How does that change the way we love our neighbor? A few years ago, there was a woman who rushed to help a young man after he was shot guarding the Canadian National War Memorial. As a group performed CPR, she found herself by his side, and she could tell that he could hear her. So not knowing how to help or what to do, she just started talking. She said, "You're a good man. You're a brave man. You are loved. Your family loves you. Your parents are so proud of you. Everybody here, we're working so hard for you. Everybody loves you. You are so loved." Imagine hearing those words as your world was spinning apart and your heart was breaking. Unfortunately, the young man didn't make it. Hearts did break. But the world focused not on the brokenness okay? Not on the hatred of the gunman. If you were to Google this, what you would hear is that the hearts were focused on the woman's act of love, on the goodness that makes us whole, and not on the evil which breaks us apart. Now, I pray always that we will never be in that kind of situation, but there are times when we are called to rise above the negative and instead show love and heal or prevent whatever broken hearts we can. And so in this time when things feel a little prickly and uncivil, here's where we start. We remember first, don't just be nice. Love. If it's your practice to be a little snarky or sarcastic, try hard not to do that, because it might ruin someone's day or maybe break someone's heart. If you like to win, maybe give a little, give in some time. Consider that you might be wrong, or at the very least, make the assumption that the other person is coming from a place of good intention. If you like to talk, maybe listen a little more. Instead of flipping off the driver in the next lane, try keeping your feelings to yourself. Try not to be a jerk. And if someone finds fault with you, remember that their heart may be breaking for reasons you do not know, and forgive them and love them anyway, because they're allowed as much mercy as you. And if someone needs to hear that they are loved, move beyond all the baloney that separates us and tell them so. Heal some hearts. Prevent others from being broken. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, this is harder than what we usually think loving our neighbor might be. It takes thought and effort and care, self-examination, motivation, changing our minds and our perspectives. It requires that we expect encounters that will allow us to love, and it requires that we are prepared to do so. It's not just about loving the people who love us, and it's not community service. It's being there for one another at a deep, deep level, a level where God is encountered, right? Where we meet God, a level where injustices just fade away, where civility reigns, where lives are transformed, where hearts are healed and made whole. This kind of love, as I said, it's hard. If it weren't, our history wouldn't be so colorful, and we wouldn't be struggling the way we are today. Yet, if we really want to live into our identity as followers of Jesus, this is what we're called to do. To remember that it always comes back to love. Amen. Now, today is Pledge Sunday, and I'd like to thank everyone who made a pledge in support of the Ministries of St. James for the year 2021. Thanks to you and your generosity, we can continue to do what love requires, doing justice, loving mercy, and walking humbly with our God. And now I'd like to offer the prayer for Pledge Sunday. The Lord be with you, and also with you. Let us pray. Lord God, creator of the universe, we thank you for the gifts, talents, and abilities you have given to each of us. These are represented by the treasure that we offer you today. May these gifts enable us more effectively to carry out the mission of the parish and the mission of the church in the world, as we love our neighbors as you have asked. For this we pray. Amen. Again, if you have pledged, I thank you. If you have not pledged or would like to make a gift to St. James, you may do so through our website, stjamespotomac.org. Again, I thank you. Offer to God the sacrifice of praise, the fruits of lips that openly profess God's name, and do not forget to do good and to share with others, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God.
Please join me in reciting the Apostles' Creed, found in the Book of Common Prayer on page 96. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. In the collect of the day, Almighty and everlasting God, increase in us the gifts of faith, hope, and charity, and that we may obtain what you promise, make us love what you command. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. A prayer of spiritual communion. Lord Jesus, we know that you are present in the Holy Sacrament. We love you above all things, and we desire to receive you into our souls. Since we cannot at this moment receive you sacramentally, come spiritually into our hearts. We embrace you as if you were already there, and unite ourselves wholly to you. Amen. The prayers of the people. Holy One, we ask for you to embrace the whole human family with your care as we seek to understand, adapt, and live into the reality of the COVID-19 pandemic. We pray for those who are giving care and for all first responders. We lift to you those who are ill, those who are afraid or alone, and those who have died. As you call us to love our neighbors, enable us to see the reality of racism and free us to challenge and uproot it from our society, our world, and ourselves. Give us strength and courage to face what is to come and guide the leaders of the nations in finding ways to work together for the good of all. As our election nears, guide the people of the United States that by faithful administration and wise laws, the rights of all may be protected and our nation be enabled to fulfill your purposes. Hold your church close and grant us wisdom, uniting us in your Son Jesus, who with the Spirit holds us all in your loving arms. Amen. We pray for those who are ill, for Bill, David, Regina, and Dave, for Margaret and her son Peter, for Seda, Paul, Joan, and Moira, for Brad, for John, and for Doris. We pray for Joe, Earl and Diane, and Michael, for Lisa and Sharon, for Susan's granddaughter, for Kate, for Myrna, for Thomas, and for Jace, for Phyllis Cole and her family, for Elaine, and for Ricky and for Jack. We lift to you all who have died, for the victims of racial injustice, and for those who have died of COVID-19, comfort all those who mourn. We also give you thanks for David's improved health and for those having birthdays and anniversaries this week. We thank you, God, for all of our blessings and for your presence with us during this time. Your prayers of intercession and thanksgiving are welcome at this time. You may join us aloud from home. Mercifully accept the prayers of your people and strengthen us to do your will. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Together let us say the general thanksgiving. Almighty God, Father of all mercies, we, your unworthy servants, give you humble thanks for all your goodness and loving kindness to us and to all whom you have made. We bless you for our creation, preservation, and all the blessings of this life, but above all for your immeasurable love and the redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus Christ, for the means of grace and for the hope of glory. And we pray, give us such an awareness of your mercies that with truly thankful hearts we may show forth your praise, not only with our lips, but in our lives, by giving up ourselves to your service, and by walking before you in holiness and righteousness all our days. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory throughout all ages. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Alleluia, alleluia. Thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.